You were listening to a production of the Toll Network, home of biting analysis.
I'm Aleph, the thesis-seeking critic. Do watch red!
I'm Amit, the heart-snacking critic. Do watch pink!
And I'm Sono, the tired critic. Do watch green.
Putting heroes on trial. Critical Squadron. Juliet Ranger.
I am tired. But nonetheless, join us as we continue on our wild ride through Dobutsu Sentai Zyuger. Can Yamato lead his human friends and now this other guy through an adventure to save the human world from the Death Galleon? Find out how we think he's doing as we share our thoughts on Dobutsu Sentai Zyuger, Episode 20, Champion of the World. Our writer was Komura Junko, our episode director, again, was Nakazawa Shojiro, same as the last couple weeks. So let's just get right on into this, with our instincts section. I personally don't know how this show expects me to handle Misao, because I love him too much already, and I was not expecting this. They go a little overboard with it, which, you know, I can deal with because this is Sentai. But he just wants friends who like him and who think he's nice. And he feels bad for hurting people. He's such a sweet guy and he wants to be noble and do the right thing and help people. But he also feels guilt over what he did under Genesis' influence and he doesn't want to use strength that he hasn't earned. And that was given to him at the expense of others. And they're really using him to explore the ideas of guilt, and I don't know if it's intentional, but they're also really exploring, you know, the symptoms of someone who's been abused through him. And again, I don't know if it's intentional, but the signs are all there, and I'm really eager to see where the show takes him and how he kind of learns to cope with the things that have happened to him that he thinks are his fault and aren't.
Yeah, and it really makes it hard, like, especially when you phrase it that way, to not make that connection. And if it's a thing they're doing on accident, wow, but it feels like something they're doing on purpose, and if that is so, friggin' kudos, man. Like, I might quibble with some of the way it's manifesting as I go kind of back and forth on whether or not the sort of quasi-comedy thing is the proper thing to do, or if it's causing, like, some contradictory reads. On the other hand, it's also a great way to sort of cut the fact that, wow, that's some really intense stuff they're dredging up. So, you know, again, good on them for trying, because there's a lot of back and forth and complex ways you can go with that, and I really appreciate that, because look, sometimes you get made aware that there are people out there who use a victim, like, as an insult or a way to dismiss things. And here comes this kid's show, and it says, no, look, if you didn't have a say in a thing, what happens to you because of that thing is not your fault, and we should be pointing our finger primarily at the person who started the awfulness, which, I mean, there's stuff for adults that doesn't have that level of empathy. Adults who could really freaking use that kind of backup, and they don't get it. And with how much nuance they're managing to pack in to this show, given that the target demographic, like, isn't, they aren't even teenagers yet. Look, I gotta give them so much respect for even attempting it. Even, again, as there's some bits I'm like, I'm not so sure.
Okay, I really like where both of you are coming from. I was really impressed with how it all played to me. We saw our heroes struggling as a unit to show the proper empathy and a response to Misao's trauma. They're all aching to help him, and he is so hurt he can't let them. Until the very end, when Yamato calls him Michan. I'm not lauding the show for Yamato manipulating him, because that isn't what happened. Like, you know, let's not read this improperly. I'm sure someone will read it that way.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, cynics. But I'm thrilled that they showed off that listening to people and validating their needs is a way to connect to them. that's really neat, and I hope that's what kids watching take away from Misao's immediate turn at hearing his nickname. If you can't connect with someone, no amount of empathy can help them. Maybe.
Well, I mean, empathy in the abstract, at least. Like, oh, I feel really bad for that guy. Okay, well, are you going to reach out? No, I'm just going to feel really bad for him.
Yeah.
Thanks!
I'm not really sure... I'm thinking about it, and... Just, I'm not sure how people could read Yamato as trying to manipulate him just by giving him that nickname.
Because he remembered, like, okay, I want him to perform happy, so I will give him the nickname he so desires, because I'm a evil, calculating person who's incapable of being... Like, people read stuff in all kinds of ways.
I mean, I guess, but it's just from, like, from Yamato... I mean, from, like... If he'd said something like that to Genus, and then Genus started calling him by some other kind of name, I mean, even calling him the world, maybe, is in a way doing that, but Yamato is literally letting four strangers live in his house.
Well, it's one of those things, like, going back to, like, Kuga, and saying, like, oh yeah, Ichijo and Godai are totally hetero friends. They're only friends. There are guys being... I wish there was a good equivalent of gals being pals for dudes. Guys dudes. Being...
I can't come up with it.
Dudes being dudes, I guess. I don't know. But...
I mean, like...
I don't know how you get there.
I can't possibly see anyone seeing Yamato with any kind of malicious bone in his body. He is the least threatening... Not least threatening, but, like, least, like, malintended person on the face of the earth.
I've got a dark side, and every now and then it taints with this little voice that says, you know, someone's gonna turn this ugly, and I can't turn it off sometimes, so I'm sorry.
Look, I do the same thing.
Letting that derail things.
I'm not even mad. It's an interesting thing to bring up, though, because...
No, it is, because, like, now I'm realizing, like, oh no, there would definitely be... Because, man, I've heard people say some things about some characters over the course of...
Well, like...
Some
like,
years.
Not too long ago, I saw a thing for Kamen Rider Ghost, where someone was like, look, are they ever just gonna have Igor slap Akari back? I want to see that. And, like,
no.
And I'm just like, how do you get... No, go...
Why?
And then,
what?
And then our friend of the friend and sometimes contributor Cannibal Sarasanian answered with the Onari, your opinion is unwelcome as it is ghoulish. And I'm like, that's our boy. That's our cannibal.
Is that what that was about?
That's what that was about. That was...
Bless. Because I just came in on that, and I'm like, I don't know who's given a bad opinion, but this is the best response.
It's great. Now, before I derail us any further, how about we get our hackles up?
Why did we have to, like, do this scene with Genus again?
Yeah.
Why, Zuoger? I asked so nicely for you to not do that again, and it was almost grosser this time. With how we go into the fact that Genus didn't just, like, grab this guy off the street and knock him out and dump a bunch of animals into him. He instead, like, walked up to him and was like, hey, you're sad and lonely and weak, and I can make you strong and feel like you belong somewhere. And, you know, taking advantage and manipulating that side of him. And again, this is all really good writing, but it is heavy stuff and it's uncomfortable to watch. Also, Leo was a rude jerk this episode,
I
kind of wanted to smack him.
Sela
kind of grabs him at one point and is like, Leo, stop talking. But it's just like, leave the boy alone. Don't say mean things to him.
It's just
that
a
will
shame
not
about
help
your
the situation.
Personality, Leo. But yeah, just to go back to the Genus stuff, because, like you were saying, uncomfortable. I mean, look, again, like, I could put it in the tide turners because, once again, they have made me very afraid of this pile of glowy garbage. Like, the only thing that, like, I think I'm mentioning this is because it was also set against Professor Sadism and his two henchmen, Punchy McGee and Lightbulb Head. And, like, that is some weird tonal stuff going on. Like, hey, what's up? I'm Mr. I'm creepy, manipulative, abuser guy, and then you go to you know, Bobo the clown and Mittens the kitty. Like, it's just like, what's, like, that's, guys, come on. It was, yeah, like I said, weird tonal stuff is what I'm saying.
So, like, where the heck was Bowling in all this time? Like, I can suspend my disbelief, and I do it a lot in a Sentai show, but it gets to the point of exhaustion when the guy just comes back and all the characters say, like, hey, we didn't finish this guy last episode, did we? And then, you know, wink at the camera. I say to that.
I do have to admit, like, I kind of enjoyed that, because I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad you guys remembered that, but what the heck was he doing for the past, what, 24 hours?
And he was giant, so, like, where was he? Was he, like, in...
Descended into the sea.
I guess.
He went to go fight Godzilla, I guess.
He just left.
Yeah. Oh, I see you guys are busy with some drama. I'll come back. It's cool.
When it's convenient. It's
like fine.
He's like a really good waiter who's like about to come take your order and you know, the couple are about to have a fight and he's just like, I'll be later. Yeah. It's cool.
Well, he wants a good tip, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, that's it for that. What about Tide Turners? What do we all enjoy?
I really loved how overdramatic Misao is. When this episode aired, we were just coming off Sailor Moon Crystal, and like that bit of his personality reminded me a little of Haruka and Michiru. You know, descending from their helicopters to go to school. And you know, that's I always enjoy that bit of melodrama, having that in my life. So you know. Leaving them and then getting this was nice. I liked how, you know, our four as human were completely baffled by the concept of Misao's guilt. Like, Yamato is actually trying to talk to him and help him feel better, but the four of them run entirely on instinct, and they're like, wait, we don't get what emotion you're feeling. Stop feeling that and just help us beat these people up. That's the thing here.
Although I do have to say, like, for three of them, I got no problem with that, because it's like, all right, two of them are cats. Like, cats, they're like, oh, whatever. the other is a shark. I have a hard time believing sharks have guilt.
Probably
elephants,
not.
Elephants don't forget, but maybe they don't do guilt, I don't know, but...
Well,
I mean,
Tusk did step forward and be like, hey, you know, like, you didn't do this, that guy did it, maybe stop feeling bad. Like, he at least tried to logic his way around it, but, like, all of them were just like, this emotion makes no sense for you to be feeling. Stop it.
Yep, and, well, let's, okay, you're feeling bad, let's go get revenge. I'm like, yeah. I know, we're about justice, not revenge, but still.
I mean, it's just, it's very nice how much animals they are.
Mm.
I also really like that Misao has this, like, frail and timid backstory, because the Sixth is always, you know, the cool guy and real strong, and, like, Misao's not any different from that, but for, you know, kids watching up growing the show who might have some kind of physical or mental disorder, that's something they could relate to and, you know, hopefully find some strength from. So, you know, I always like it when we get a hero with some of that stuff, especially one that's in, you know, such a big role in that way. Yamato insisting that Misao's life matters when he offers to sacrifice himself to go save the other four. You know, Yamato's very committed to all life on Earth matters, and he's already found this connection with Misao and that they're both humans with these human powers. And, you know, I'm glad this kid has a nice support network now, because he deserves it. The whole team, all four of them calling Kubar an idiot was great. Just being like, no, I know we're all, you know, about to die, but none of us have time for your nonsense. And then, you know, Kubar using Azald as a shield and trying to, you know, brush it off. Like, oh, but you're immortal. Like, this isn't a problem, right? Because you'll just, I can use you as a shield and you'll come back and everything's fine. That was great. And, you know, I feel like it's the first time that these two have actually used their personality.
Yeah.
And I wish we would, you know, actually have them do that more. because that's kind of interesting. Like, does it hurt when he explodes? Because I could see kind of why he'd be annoyed then.
Like, oh, absolutely. You
know, give us some more stuff like that.
You threw me in front of a massive energy blast. The finisher. What? That's really rude. You're cool. Yeah, it doesn't feel good, dude.
You know, I really loved how excited Misao got about getting the nickname and, you know, being invited to lunch, and I hope he really does get to build his confidence as the show goes on. And, you know, Yamato looks so proud of himself, he's like, oh wait, I should call him by a nickname, then maybe he'll, you know, feel more like he's one of us, because that's a thing he wants. And, you know, they're such sweet kids.
Yeah.
And they make me happy. And then Misao made the dolls. I'm not gonna lie, I have Amu and Sela pre-ordered.
Good. That is proper.
I restrained myself and didn't get all four, but I had to at least get the two of them.
Well, that's the surprising part right there.
They weren't expensive. I could have gotten all four of them. Like, all four of them are the price of one figure arts.
Yeah, I'm sorely tempted, I gotta be honest, but I probably won't do it.
But, you know, I restrained myself.
And it is impressive restraint. We should all... You should acknowledge that it is very impressive that you did so.
But, like, that is a skill of his. Like, because, man, he did that all by hand, including the fact that their faces are embroidered, and Tusk has, like, all of his jewelry embroidered on there, and that is impressive for him to be doing by hand. So I hope this is a skill of his that we keep bringing up. And, you know, maybe do something with. Like, yeah, no, I couldn't play a lot of sports, so I sat around and sewed things. Because I hung out with my mom or something.
Yeah, you can eat. Oh, go on.
Oh, I just, it makes me happy how much that reminds me of Kanji from Persona 4. And I know he's got his issues, but that's always something that was cool about Kanji, that was one of his skills.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see them do something with that with Misao, because it's... Like, it's a really interesting thing to give him.
Especially if they get, a redo on the getting turned into dolls, and he just pick it up and is like, what kind of shoddy craftsmanship is this? Well, yeah, of course it came from a gun. Because only something that would do mass-produced would look this crap. It's clear that you did not take any pride in this. You just did it. It's just done. This is sub... Get it out of a claw machine level. How dare you, sir? But sort of... did you have anything else? I'm sorry, I've just sort of jumped in.
No, that's...
Okay. Because, like, I first want to plus one the stuff you were talking about with Azalt and Kubar. I really wish they had this much personality the rest of the time instead of just like, my team is going to win. No, my team is going to win because I'm intelligent. I'm brute force. Brr, brr, brr. It's... Nah. Also, okay, I feel kind of dumb, because it wasn't until this episode that I realized that Azalt has this boxer motif going on. Like, am I the last one to notice that?
No, just... I didn't notice that at all.
Yeah, nor did I.
Check it out. Next time you watch it, he's got the shorts, the sort of knee-length boxer shorts, not boxer mm-hmm. shorts, but and his chest detail is a tank top.
Huh.
It's like, he's a boxer. That's great.
I know he hits his fist together all the time, and it makes me mad because I think, like, you're not Kamen Rider Black. What the F are you doing? But I guess if he's a boxer, that makes sense.
Huh.
Yeah, just next time you look, you know, just... Anyway. And look, I don't even know... Yeah, I got kind of confused there. I do kind of like that Misao's catchphrase is... a clever way of sort of mirroring the other Zhuojers and asserting his individuality / humanity. Don't mess with me, a.k.a. don't mess with the world, a.k.a. don't mess with this planet. It's like, that's a clever thing.
There's some real clever stuff in this show.
Yeah, like...
When it wants to.
Exactly. Like, when this show is on, it is on. As noted earlier, like, I was unsure about some of the comedy bits with Misao. Like, just not sure it works as a big thematic whole. But at the same time, I gotta say, it does a great job of setting up his core thing, and makes me even more comfortable with sort of calling, thinking of him as a Kamen Rider who admittingly plays by Sentai rules. Like, I was made into a bad thing and I did bad things. I feel awful about it. Versus, you know, then everyone else pops up to say, look, that you feel bad is proof that you're not the person you're afraid you are, and we can have this whole growth thing going on, and I really adore it. And just sort of jumping on from something you were talking about, Sono, Masao being this kind of fragile person in many senses of the word, who's suddenly come into all this power all at once, is a great thing for him, because it means we get to examine about how the fact that having a lot of physical or specifically violent power is not the solution to your problems, which, I mean, look, there's a lot of adults who have not internalized that lesson, and putting it in a kid's show just makes me so happy. Because, like, there's always some more to say about, like, I just... feel like in especially like media like this, there's not enough space given to the fact that, like, look, you can't hit your problems away. That's just the symbol we use here.
Right. I don't know what happened to me, but I kept reading his name as Masao, so thanks for correcting me, everybody.
Probably because Kiva.
Ah, there you go.
I was doing that for a while. Like, wait, which vowel does this one have?
Because I don't think I'd heard Masao until Kiva, so, I mean, when I encounter the next thing. But I will say this about his name. Mondo makes me happy, because it's very much like Mundo, which means world. So, like, I don't know if there's a extra, like, hint of a, you know, Spanish language-based pun in there, or, you know, Latin, I guess, technically. But it's there, and it makes me happy. So
I had not picked that up. That's a good call. High five.
Thank you. By the way, one of the best things I learned in Spanish class, internet, is telaraña mundial, which basically means world spider web. Anyway. Going on to say. So Masao collapsing at seeing the human forms of the Juojus was a fun surprise. I didn't expect that. Yamato yelling at him to, like, look, just put this shirt on, was funny, because, like, there's a couple layers you could take with that. Somebody's jealous that he's not as ripped as Masao.
Well, look, I mean, that dude is really ripped, even if he does need, like, all the sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the thing is, there's literally nothing in his body. Like, Yamato's not as ripped because Yamato eats food. Ever.
Right.
Like, look... Like, especially look around, like, his neck and his collarbones.
Mm.
Like, it's completely
a pit, right?
Sinks in. It's horrifying, and I worry so much for this child.
I hope he gets a little bigger. It'd be good for him. It would appear, anyway. Although he could just have a physique like the guy who played Osugi, you know? There are just some people who are very, very, very thinly... laid out for whatever reason.
It's
so
true.
I worry.
Oh man, Osugi. Sorry, now I'm talking about Forze. I'll stop. This isn't the right place for it.
So in fairness, every place it's is always the right time for Forze. We just have to limit it.
So Q-Bar, who I thought was Q-Bard, and I guess he isn't anymore, whatever. Like him slapping Leo tickled me probably a bit too much.
If he had to slap anyone, I'm glad it was Leo.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, you've got all four of them there, you could have walked up to any of them. At least it's Leo.
Yeah, he
made the right choice.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of hoping Leo would bite him.
That
would have been fun.
But, you know, again, if it had to be any of them, I'm glad it was Leo and not, like, one of the girls.
They all got to call him idiot afterwards, so it worked. So
yeah.
And then Masao's interplay with his delusions of the three human was lots of fun, and we're going to talk about, you know, the nature of those delusions later. So I'll just leave it at that. But that was, I really enjoyed that, especially
it was
like
really good.
The stages they went through and the mimicking the classic Japanese ghosts with the limp wrists or whatever. I could talk about that for a while, because I think that's a really neat concept, and also it crosses over into Pokemon, which I thought was disturbing when I found that out, but you know, good job, Pokemon team. But let's stop talking about Pokemon and get into evolutions. What do you guys see coming in the future of the show?
A good handful of episodes where, you know, everyone gets individually paired with Misao to learn a valuable lesson about friendship. Because I know we're going right into Misao and Tusk next episode, so I assume, you know, the next, like, five episodes or so are going to be everyone getting to hang out with him and talk to him about, like, oh, but now we're friends and we're going to help you be more social and you're going to help us, I don't know, do something, get used to this planet better. I don't know.
We'll get a second human perspective. That's good.
You know, just valuable lessons about friendship and relating to one another. Maybe we'll finally learn something about Amu. Finally.
It would be nice. Okay, I hate to bring this down, but that unfortunately means we're probably also going to see a lot more of Creepy Genesis. Like, I'm also going to hope that Naria just murders him, and, like, we can all be really happy when that happens now, because, like, before it was just like, yay, Naria, I'm glad we could have a villain we're interested in, but now if she does it, it's like, good. About time.
Like, yeah, please get rid of him.
Just right in the back. It'll be great. Pull a Starscream. Just kick him out into the sucking void of space.
I think we might see more of them, I'm sorry, of the apparitions, but again, that's what our one question is focused on, so let's move into that and, talk about that. Do you think Rhino, Crocodile, and Wolf Human are actually Misao's delusion, or something more?
The first time we see them, they have the, like, white paper headbands that are, you know, a visual indication of Japanese ghost folklore. And, you know, Sentai has used this before consistently with the Gai arc when they come back in Shin Kendra versus Go Onger, and then again in Gokaidra versus Gavin. You know, and those are several years apart, and they remembered to keep using them. So at least, you know, someone at Toei is paying attention to these things. But they have those to indicate that they died and then came back from Ghost World instead of them being actually alive. But when we see Rhino, Crocodile, and Wolf later in the episode, about halfway through when he goes to the fight at the warehouse and he's debating going in, and he has that second encounter with them, those headbands are gone. They're not on them anymore. And we also see them outside of that blue space and in reality with Misao briefly. And I think this indicates that, to an extent, they're now part of Misao and are alive as a part of him. You know, he's alive, and therefore they are also alive and able to communicate with him and guide him through their power that he's using. But, you know, are acting as if they're still delusions for the sake of his confidence, so that, you know, anytime he sees them, he doesn't completely shut down and go into this guilt mode of trying to apologize to them. And if we're assuming that Yamato is going to be able to give his power back to Bird, Dad, and Larry at the end of the show to maybe make them less closer to death than they are,
would be nice,
for having helped him, this may indicate that Misao can do the same to bring back Rhino, Wolf, and Crocodile.
I really hope
would be kind of nice.
Yeah, it really would be, because it's pleasantly poetic, a lot less kind of bleak, and also a nice final F-off to Genesis and his ilk, because, like, dude can't even murder three Zoolanders completely, and, in failing, he also failed to make them into the awful things like he is. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. Your evil is harmful and dangerous and scary, but ultimately ineffectual. Yeah! All about that. However, that said, like, I'm personally kind of in love with the thought that they are delusions, and that they're just these different parts of his head trying to steer him where he wants to go, and creating a place where we can actually talk about his internal struggles without him just grimacing and looking into the middle distance while a voiceover goes back and forth with itself about what he should do. I should do the thing! I am guilty! I should do the thing! I am so guilty! you know, we can just skip that. We just jump into the void, and it's his own personal Herman's head, or, for a reference more people understand, his ego id superego, or maybe his shoulder cosmology, where he's got the shoulder angel, shoulder demon, and I guess a shoulder animal? Something in the middle from Earth? I don't know. Whatever it is, it makes me hope he'll get an upgrade that will resolve this conflict and his depersonalization and have him become this wholly actualized person. A miniature Sentai combining to form not a giant robot, but a whole, confident, self-actualized human being. Not unlike the central figure in the World card. Do you see? The World.
I have to start up by saying bless you, too. I hadn't thought about this in such a great way, and, like, getting all the context and then all the crazy theory from you, Aleph. Yeah, I don't mean that in insult.
No, look, I go weird. But, I go weird. That's what I do.
But, like, that's really great. And, like, Sono brings up a great point, like, how awesome it would be for Yamato to give back those powers. And just, like, ah. I almost have nothing to add, but I got a little bit. I hope that the three human are now living inside Masao. Whether or not they can be released, it would be really sweet to know that he is never alone with the three.
Aww.
In his, you know,
yeah.
Heart and head, whatever, maybe his soul. They're all fused together now. I would hope that if that pans out, that we continue to see them manifest and talk to him, because I really enjoyed their performances, and, like, in 30 seconds, I got a pretty good sense for all their personalities as they were acting over each other, which I think is damn impressive.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the suit acting in this Sentai, like, again, the writing has not been great, but the suit acting and the fight direction this year have been superb.
I do hope that, like, even if he, like, if Misao does bring them back at the end, that, like, he goes back to Zooland with them.
Yeah.
Like, these are my dads now.
Well, and
these are now my dads, and I'm gonna stay with them.
And he could go and live in a world that is kind of actually in its way a little kinder to him. Because, you know, all of them just being like, dude, you don't have to feel guilty. This isn't on you. Like, that's beautiful.
And then he and Hotaru can meet up, and they can talk about their parents. Be great. The six bit that they have between the two of them. Sorry. A little Sailor Moon reference for people there.
I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
With Hotaru and her three moms and Misao and his three dads.
It'd be perfect. Anyway, that'd be really cool. I like, too, that I noticed that in the middle he has the Rhino, and Rhino was the one who said, like, hey, just do both. So, like, that's another great bit of visual storytelling there.
That's true, yeah.
So, that made me happy. All right. Well, I think that's all we have to say, pretty much. I didn't have the energy to make up more questions, and Sono came up with a great one, and, I mean, we talked about it. So, do we have anything else we want to talk about?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, it's been a pretty straightforward series, and it really does feel like it's picking up with these ones, I do want to say. Like, the stuff about Misao and getting the world in has been, you know, it maybe not, like, perfect the heights of Sentai, but it's certainly been a lot tighter and a lot more emotionally affecting, which I'm all about.
Which is interesting, because I feel like a lot of the time bringing the sixth in really slows things down for a while.
Yeah, it does.
Normally it's like, oh, now we've got to get to know this guy, and everyone's got to form relationships with him, and we're not going to get back to the plot for a while. But, like, I feel like he's really gotten the pace moving a little better. Maybe it's because he's so directly connected to the villains, where, you know, where we're actually kind of finally getting something out of our antagonists because of him also. Because, you know, now that he's shown up, they all have some semblance of a personality all around him. Because, again, like, like, Azald has something against him, I guess. Not from this episode, but the episode before.
Well, he's why are you paying attention to him? We're the players. He's just a dude.
So, like, I want to see that go somewhere, and, like, Misao's got this very interesting story that, in the way he relates to people, that I think it's, he's taken the pacing in a very different direction than the sixth usually seems to. And I think they managed that pretty well with Akira and Tokuja. Again, I think because he was very directly connected to the villains. I'm trying to think of a good example of it going the other way. Go Onger. The wings completely destroyed the pacing of Go Onger for like 10 episodes.
Oof.
Hey, and let's just throw Ryusei
maybe
in
it's
there.
Just me, but well, yeah, no, Ryusei killed the pacing of Forte.
As an apologist, it's true. I have been an apologist for Ryusei. I'm pretty sure you still got some audio of me saying so. Yeah.
I mean, there's some brilliant stuff that came out of his whole storyline, but it kind of made them have to rush the rest of it.
Anyway, oh boy.
But
never
like the Go On Wings had their own separate villain that came into the plot with them. Like he was still part of like the villain species, and he knew one of the main three villains, but he hadn't been in the show before they came. He came with them and they were fighting him, and we had to deal with just that for a good handful of episodes in Go Onger, and it was tedious. And I don't know, maybe that's just me, because I know a lot of people like the Go On Wings, but I found them to be really... I wish that they had not been such a pain in the butt. Because, again, they're very... Go On Gold is Yagaruma from Kabuto. It's the same actor, and essentially the same character.
Well, they know what he can do.
Except now he was in Go Onger, which is the least serious thing that I've ever watched. Like, at no point does it even pretend or try to take itself seriously, but then you've just got Yagaruma over in the corner with Kageyama, who's now his sister. And it made Go Onger hard to watch for me for a little while. I know that Jin, and I know Jin was very popular among the GoBusters audience, but I think he did kind of the same thing. He slowed things down a little because he very much stole the show out from under the rest of the cast. And, you know, suddenly his conflicts became kind of more important than theirs. All in all, I'm just glad that this isn't a problem we're having with Misao, because I really like him.
I'm right there with you, because he's just a nice like. Sixth. Brings something interesting, who actually kind of catalyzes the whole thing in a really pleasant way.
I'll be interested to see what kind of wardrobe choices they make for him, because he was in Yamato's shirt. I mean, I guess we saw him in something different at the end of the episode, but I didn't really notice because I was distracted by the
plushies. The weird tassels on the bottom of the shirt was like... That was a heck of a fashion choice. I did not...
I'm pretty sure that was Mario. I'm pretty sure that's a shirt that Mario bought for Yamato that Yamato wanted to get rid of and saw this as his opportunity.
That's funny. But he reads really nicely for me, and, like, I don't know. He used to be a big nerd. I mean, I forgot to do it at the top of this episode. I was supposed to say the name of the episode, which is, everybody, Another Nerd to Feed.
Nice.
That's who this guy is, and I look forward to seeing that in the rest of the show.
Yes.
I gotta go.
All right.
I think we've covered pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So shall I take us out?
Oh, please do. Please do.
All right. So for Laser Knees, I'm Aleph.
And I'm Amit.
And I'm Sona.
And we'll see you next time.